الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. We'll be starting the 23rd juz today, inshallah. Remember, we stopped off the last juz talking about an individual who came to try to save the messengers and give da'wah to the people who were rejecting the messengers. And they were actually thinking, they were intending to kill the messengers. And so he comes and he gives basically a short khutbah, in which he tells them that what stops me from worshiping my own creator? And why would I take anyone as a partner who cannot benefit me? So this is a continuation. He, at the end of the last verse, he told them to follow the messengers, and then he's giving them this further advice. So he says, why should I take anyone else as a partner to Allah and make a sharik for him who cannot benefit me? And this individual was killed, and he entered paradise. And then it is said that, oh, if they could see his good state in the hereafter. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the people of that town with an awful cry. And it would have been good if such people had taken a lesson from their previous nations. And on top of that, there's other signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to them. For example, the way that he brings life from the dead earth, and how he created things in pairs, and the precision of the alternation of the night and the day, and the stages of the moon, and the fact that they're in a perfect orbit. And another sign is how the seas have been subjugated such that you can even ride ships and boats on the vast ocean. And the most notable example of that was Noah. And that he's also subjugated other forms of transportation for us, right? We can fly in the air now, we can take trains, so on and so forth. And what's that called? If he had wanted, he could have, if he had wanted, have been drowned in the ocean, that oceans could have become unnavigable. But this is mercy. And so there's all of these different things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions are signs, but there's not a sign except that they end up rejecting it and turning away. And these people, when they're told to spend, they say, why should we spend on people that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, you know, he could have fed you, so why should we give you any money just because you're poor? And then they ask about when the final hour is, and when it will come all of a sudden as a single cry. And they're going to be raised, and they'll be in company, and they will be resurrected from their, I'm sorry, when the trumpet is blown, they will be resurrected from their graves towards their Lord. And they'll be surprised, like, who woke us up from our sleep? And they'll realize the truth of everything that was said to them before. And on that note, people have to face their actions. And the people of paradise are going to be in an amazing state. They're going to be on thrones, they're going to have fruits, so on and so forth. But the criminals will be separated, and they'll be reminded of the message that they had rejected. And their own feet and their own hands will testify against them. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, he could have made them blind or disfigured them right here in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out, don't you see yourself getting old? I mean, that's a sign that you're not going to remain here forever. And then we're told how the Prophet ﷺ is not a prophet. Well, he's not a poet, I'm sorry. He's just a warner. And he was sent to complete the argument so that they can't say, oh, we were never warned and we didn't know any better. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out another blessing of his that he made for his cattle. People use it for transportation. People use it for food. They use it for milk. And they should be thankful and not take false gods who can't help them. And then the Prophet ﷺ is told not to grieve because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what they're doing. It's not like he doesn't know. And it's funny that these people who were created from such a vile fluid are now standing up and arguing about their very creator. And they wonder about how they will be resurrected, but they forgot how they got here in the first place. And he is the one who, you know, creates a fire from the tree. You know, when you... from the sticks, you can create fire from wood. And isn't the one who created the heavens and the earth and made all this majestic creation around us, able to make the like of us. And he's the one who, when he wants something to be, he just says, be, and it is. Next, we start Surah Safat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the angels that he is just one God. There's no partner for him. And he is the one who's beautified the sky with stars, and he protects the heavens from the shayateen. But sometimes they'll actually snatch some news and steal some news and throw it down before the flame strikes them. And then those jinn throw it down, and they give it to their soothsayers, which is why sometimes they'll say something like, wow, that's so true. But the problem with the shayateen is when they tell something to the soothsayers, they also mix many lies along with the things that, you know, may be true and that they stole from the heavens. Ask them, is it harder for them to make them or to make them the entire universe around you in the heavens? The problem is that these people, they deny resurrection and they make fun of the messengers and they call him a magician and they all call all of this magic. But when it comes, you know, they'll see. And they will be gathered with the people who are like them. So the fornicators will all be brought together and the people who took riba will all be gone together. And we should be very careful because, you know, people, we're Muslims, but there's no Muslims who take riba. And we don't want to be raised with those people who engage in these terrible actions. So we should make our actions like the actions of the righteous people so that we can at least be raised with them. One of my teachers used to say, Hafiz Sahab, the goal is not to become an alim, the goal is to be raised with the ulama. In any case, these people will be gathered with their likes and they will be driven to hell. And they will be stopped and they'll be questioned. And in that situation, they can't help each other. And they actually, instead of helping each other, like they said that they would, they'll actually turn against each other. And these are the people who used to call him a poet. They used to call him a madman. They used to say that he's crazy. And now they're facing the punishment that they denied, that they had earned by their own actions. But on the other hand, the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the chosen slaves, they will be in such a beautiful situation. They'll be having, you know, cups of wine that they'll be passing around, and they'll have beautiful women, and they'll be in a life of ease. And they will remember about this person, you know, for example, who used to question them in the world and almost made them slip. You know, they would, you know, sort of make these arguments. And we know these type of people, you know, they say, oh, do you really believe that? And this, and he'll look down, and he'll see that person who had asked him those questions, and he'll be so grateful that he didn't let go of the deen during the world, which was a test. And then he'll rejoice, and he'll tell the other people in Jannah that, you know, be happy. There's no death here. There's no punishment. And this is something that's definitely worth striving for. And compare this with the horrors of hell that are mentioned, and they will eat from basically the discharge that comes from the eyes and the private parts of the other people who are in hell, that's mixed with like boiling liquid. And they're going to eat from a tree whose fruits are like the heads of devils. And the problem was that they wanted to just follow the way of their forefathers. They didn't use their brains and they didn't want to accept the truth. And the exception is the chosen slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we're given several examples of those chosen slaves. For example, one is that of Nuh alayhi salam. He was saved and the other people are drowned. Another example is Ibrahim. He challenged the people's worshipping idols senselessly. And he actually destroyed the idols. And they wanted in exchange, instead of, you know, trying to attending to the logic that he presented, they decided to actually punish him and throw him in the fire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. And when it became clear that they would no longer benefit, then he migrated from them. And he was given Ismail alayhi salam. And then he told Ismail alayhi salam about the dream in which he saw him slaughtering him. And he told his father, you know, do as you've been ordered. If alma tu'mar satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. You'll find me patient. And this was a great test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam was ready to slaughter the thing that was most dear to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't need the sacrifice. He was just testing his heart. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ransomed Ismail with a ram from heaven. And he was given Ishaq alayhi salam after that. And from their progeny, there are some people who are extremely righteous. And there are some oppressive people as well. And in the same way, you look at Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam, they were held by Allah. And similarly, Ilyas alayhi salam, when he's called his people to the right way and they rejected him. And also look at Lut alayhi salam, he was saved. And Yunus alayhi salam, when he was basically in a boat and they drew lots and he got thrown out of the boat and then swallowed by a whale. And then, you know, he made the famous zikr, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minal zalimeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. And he was sent to a people of 100,000 or more. And then we shift gears a little bit and talk about how these people ascribe children to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say that the angels are his daughters. And this is a double standard because they didn't like daughters for himself, but they're ready to give, like, you know, the leftovers or the things that they don't like and ascribe that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, who are the mothers of those daughters? Then they would say the mothers are the daughters of the leaders of the jinn. And these are just baseless things. They weren't there. They didn't see any of this. They had no proof. But these are things that they can concocted. And they can't mislead people except people who are destined for hell. And the angels are actually servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have their appointed place and they stand in rows as they've been ordered. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help his messengers and they will prevail. Just wait and they'll see. Next we begin Surah Sa'd. It starts by talking about how they denied the message out of arrogance, but such people who were deniers were destroyed before. And they're amazed that, you know, there's this person, he just lives amongst us. He's just like one of us. How can he be chosen? And they call him a liar and a magician. And they said that this, you're just doing all this weird stuff, that you're making all the gods into one god. We never heard about this before. And they tell each other, just stick to your way. And they actually say that, well, basically saying that the prophet is making a bid'ah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells or says that they will be destroyed like the past confederates, you know, the people of Nuh, the people, the nation of Thamud, the nation of Ad, the Pharaoh, and others. Then we're told about Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam, their stories. So first Dawood alayhi salam, how the mountains and birds made zikr with him and that he had kingdom and wisdom. And it talks about one particular situation that we don't necessarily have all the details about, but basically two litigants came to him and they asked him to judge. And one of them had like 99 ewes, like naja, like animals, and the other one only had one. And the one who had 99 said that basically tried to overcome the other one. And he said, give me yours as well to get 100. And so Dawood alayhi salam, he made a judgment. And he said, that's not right. But he made a mistake in his judgment. And then after that, he made tawbah. And that tawbah was accepted. And he was told to judge with truth and not to follow desires, because that's what makes a person go astray. Then we're told that the world is not created without purpose. It's not like a dream. It's not like some useless thing that's created. There's a reason that we're here. And that the believers and the kafir are not, and therefore the believers and the kafir are not equal, because one of them actualizes the purpose of why they exist and the other one doesn't. And the book, the Quran, has come for us to ponder and to take a reminder from it. Then we're told about the story of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And the short of it is that there was a sort of like a horse show, and he got distracted and they missed the time for Asr. And so he felt so bad that he actually made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sun to be brought back so he could pray. And then there's a difference of opinion about what he did after, but one opinion is that he felt so bad that he had gotten distracted. Now, obviously, he didn't do it on purpose, but that he basically killed the horses because he said, you're the ones that distracted me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he was tested when a body was put on his throne, and then he repented and he asked for an inimitable kingdom, like a kingdom that the like that never was or never will be. And then he was given the wind and it was subjugated to him, and he was also given jinns who would work under him. And we're told about Ayyub alayhi salam, how he was patient. I mean, he basically lost everything, and he had such an illness that it affected almost his whole body except his heart. And his wife, you know, she tirelessly served him for 18 years. And then when he finally made dua and saying that shaitan has tormented me, you know, he didn't say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you put me through a test. He ascribed it to shaitan. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually gave him everything back and the like of it. And while he was sick, something happened from his wife where he became very displeased. And, you know, everyone can make mistakes. So he said that if I ever get better, I'm going to hit you 100 times with, I'll hit you 100 times. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then, you know, fulfill your vow. But this is a person who did so much for you. And you cannot repay a person's, ikram and her ihsan by actually, hitting her, whipping her. That, you know, what you should do is take thin grass, you know, with 100 stems and just hit her once with that. Just so that you, quote unquote, fulfilled your oath. And then we're told to remember all the past prophets. Many of them are named. And that for the muttaqin is paradise, and they'll have good drink in there and pure women. And compare this to a horrible fire and the food and drink of hell, that no, it will be hot to extreme or cold to extreme. And inside in Jahannam, they're going to be fighting with their leaders, and they're going to ask Allah to give them more punishment. And they're going to look around for the quote-unquote bad people. So the people, they said, oh, they're probably going to be in here with us. You know, the people that they said, oh, them Muslims are, you know, terrible people, and they're going to look around, and they're just not there, because they're all going to be in heaven. Then we're told about the story of Iblis, alayhi salam, not making sajda out of arrogance, and how he vowed to mislead the children of Adam, except the chosen slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Jahannam will be filled with them. And this is just a reminder you will come to know. Finally, we're going to start Surah Zumar. This is a book that's truly revealed, and we're told to worship Allah sincerely. And they associate partners with Allah, saying that, look, we're not necessarily just worshiping these idols, but this is so that they can bring us closer to God. You know, it's just sort of like even in the Catholic tradition, they worship these saints, saying that they're intermediaries between them and God. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them. You know, He's created the universe, and everything has an appointed term. And He made us from Adam and Hawa alayhi salam, and He made different class of livestock for us. And He made us in stages in the womb under 3 darknesses, the darkness of the belly, the darkness of the sac in which the child exists, and the darkness of the womb. So the stomach, the actual sac, amniotic sac in which the child exists, and the darkness or the layer of the uterus. And if people disbelieve, it doesn't hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He's a ghani, He's rich, and people will return to Him, and He will tell them what people did. And when harm comes to people, they pray, and when good comes to them, then they forget about what they used to pray about. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, is the one who's obedient and who stands in prayer all night going to be equal to these people? And that we should have taqwa, and good is for those people who do good and are patient. And then say to them that, that I make my religion sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can go along and worship whatever you want. And the true loser is the one who loses in the hereafter. And they will see it, because there will be fire from all around. And we should understand and the Quran, and we should act accordingly. And the people who have taqwa will have lofty rooms under which rivers flow in Jannah. And then we're reminded about how the rain comes and the crops grow up, and then they become old and yellow. And this is a cycle of life. So what is to say that we're also not going to die and pass on? So we should remember our mortality. And then we're told how the Quran has repeated verses and very similar parts. And so we see many times, you know, similar themes, the same stories again and again. And the hearts soften to the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the believers benefit from this reminder. They say in Arabic, إِذَا تَقَرَّرَ تَقَرَّرَ, that when things are repeated, they settle. And the disbelievers get punishment here, and what they're going to face in the hereafter is worse. And how the Quran explains by way of examples and parables, and one of the parables that's drawn here is a slave that's owned by many people, and one who's purely for one owner. You know, the one who has many owners, they're going to pull the slave in every direction. They're going to fight over the slave, as opposed to the one who's only for one person. And similarly, is the person who worships many gods versus one who has only one Allah. And that everyone will die, even the Prophet ﷺ. and they will dispute in the hereafter, the person who is oppressed against the person who oppressed him, so on and so forth. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.